This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio today by...
Arvind Viraj.
Audrey Raj.
And our producer of the day, of course, is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Hello.
Now, just when you thought you'd gotten through a restful weekend, and we've all sat down and we've had that wonderful weekend, and then Sunday rolls around, and what happens?
Not even Sunday. Sunday evening,
right,
towards the end of the weekend.
This is not going to be your traditional, normal Enterprise BizBytes today. Things have changed ever so slightly. Ords, put us in the picture.
Yeah, so the flurry of news over a possible realignment of the country's political landscape continues today. The rumbling started about 24 hours ago, Sunday evening, of a plot to form a new coalition government involving Bersatu, UMNO, PAS, Gabungan Parti Sarawak and Parti Warisan Sabah, as well as the PKR faction aligned with Datuk Seri Azmin Ali. Now, several key leaders of the ruling government parties and also from the opposition attended a special meeting at a hotel in Petaling Jaya yesterday. I think everybody knows it's Sheraton. It was a closed meeting, raising questions over the purpose of the meeting. But before that, there had been separate meetings involving several political parties, but party leaders were tight-lipped as to what was discussed at these closed-door meetings as well.
Yeah, so as of now, there is no official announcement or confirmation by any political parties. But what we do know is Deputy PM Dato' Sri Dr. Wan Aziza Wan Ismail and her husband, PKR President Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, are scheduled to have an audience with the Yang di-Pertuan Agong at about 2 p.m. today. There's also talk of an emergency meeting by DAP, a component party in Pakatan Harapan, at the party headquarters.
The Star also reported earlier this morning that Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim, who is to be wanting to meet with Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, was at the Putra Pradana building this morning. However, Dr. Mahathir did not turn up for the meeting. This comes after Datuk Sri Anwar said last night that he believes there are attempts to shake up the Pakatan Harapan government by Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia and a faction from PKR. He called it a betrayal. Strong words.
Yeah.
We thought we'd have an interesting discussion today, and it's based around the idea of leadership. You know, and so what we thought we'd ask is, it's a real simple question, but we've had an awful lot of responses already. If you had a great team leader but a bad leader, would you leave or would you stay?
If you had a great team.
Sorry, yeah, if you had a great team but a bad leader, would you leave or would you stay? Why? Let us know. Votes, so far we have around 320-something votes, and right now 71.9% of you are saying leave, whereas 28.1% are saying stay.
It'll be very interesting to see how this works in like both contexts, because we're asking it, yes, from a sort of workplace point of view and company structure and stuff, but because of what's happening in the political climate, it's also interesting to see how it works in that context.
Right.
And they're two completely different things, because they have like similarities, like you can make comparisons and you can sort of see how they might work with similar mechanisms. But at the same time, they're like two completely different things, which we will explore as we keep going on.
Of course, because for some things, you know, you have the ability to just walk away, you know. And so that kind of leads us onto the story that we're going to go with. And one of the ways, or four ways in which you can deal with a bad boss or a coworker when quitting isn't an option. So we're going to explore this idea first. So many people have negative experiences with a bad boss, a manager or a co-worker, whether the tension is caused by a clash of personalities or a disagreement on leadership style. While it may be tempting just to call it quits, for some it's not possible or feasible for many people. Instead, there are a bunch of techniques that you can adopt, and one of them is, one, document everything that you can. When you find yourself going head-to-head with a bad boss, you want to have as much proof as possible of jaw-dropping comments or unfair situations. Pulling from memory won't be a strong defense. So the best way to collect all what's going on with your boss is to document it all in an organized way. So over-communicate via email or whatever you think you need to do. Over-communicate. I love the idea of that. You know, document everything, whether or not it's a WhatsApp, an email, whatever. Number two, Talk to HR. Depending on your company's size and departments, you might have an HR representative you can talk to about what's going on and get their help on what can be done to fix your current situation. If that's an option for you, that is something. If someone in the company is acting in an appropriate, inappropriate or abusive manner, be transparent with HR that one, you're not leaving, and two, you're trying to deal with the situation the best you can from a mental health standpoint. Three, learn the art of not reacting. I think we've seen a lot of this in a lot of businesses lately. Mm-hmm. When you're dealing with a difficult boss, you're also dealing with the exchange of emotions. And whilst you wish you could just tell that person off and unleash a long monologue about how horrible they've been to you, you understand you can't just do that. However, you can learn how to manage your reaction so that you don't mirror aggressive behavior back to your boss. While that doesn't sound easy to do, start with a mindfulness practice. You know how I dislike that word, mindfulness, but it's often something you might have to do. Step back, take a few deep breaths, move on, hold your breath, say something.
Move on.
Yeah, I know, right? Four, disarm them by validating their frustrations. Tap into powerful negotiation techniques that you can manipulate your boss into realizing how they're treating you and how their communication style is a complete mess. The first thing you can do is try the art of active listening. What do we think about that?
I'm starting to see that there are not a lot of similarities between what we're talking about and the political climate, because it's very, very different now.
Right.
Manipulating your boss, maybe the boss is doing the manipulating.
We can't comment, can we?
Yes.
Just yet? However, you guys can. What you can do is you can let us know via WhatsApp, via Twitter, and via Instagram. We have polls running on Instagram. We have polls running on Twitter. And, of course, you can communicate with us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. We've also got a whole bunch of clips throughout the show, of course. We've got George Aveling from TMI TAC Malaysia, Dr. Harjit Sidhu from Quantum Achievers International. We've got Janita Sukumaran, the founder and consulting director of Rantau. We've got Professor Rozhan Othman, Human Capital Development. A whole bunch of stuff coming up throughout the show, some clips that will relate to this story and our ongoing coverage, of course. But don't forget, do get in touch. 018-789-8899. Let's take a short break with some music. This is The Clash. Should I stay or should I go? On BFM 89.9.
Burden-free Malaysia. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. It's 12:15 here in the studio. I don't know about the time where you are. It's a joke, ladies and gents. We are asking you this question. If you had a great team but a bad leader, would you leave or would you stay? That's what we're asking you. 018-789-8899 is the number on WhatsApp, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. We've got polls running over there. We want your opinions. That is the question. If you had a great team but a bad leader, would you leave or would you stay and why? Let's go over to WhatsApp with Arv first.
Yeah, so I'll just pick two. This is from Raz, who says, nothing to do with the current political climate. I will leave because I know I'm worth much more and my intelligence deserves better. And there's another one from Yao Yang, who says, I'll leave because everyone else will leave in the end.
Ooh,
very philosophical.
Yeah, over to Ords with Twitter.
Yeah, so KM Yang says, how can a team be great with a bad leader? Do you mean having good team members to work with? Yeah, I think that's part of it. Mm-hmm. Also, Ashraf says, you know, I topple the leader and put myself in the seat.
Ooh, hostile
now,
takeover.
Now, while many people might have the same thought, it doesn't sound as easy as it is, right? Also, Yi Yu says, this sounds like it's beyond my capability to boot out the bad leader, so I'll most probably leave. A bad leader tends to ruin any team.
That seems to be the discussion points. Right, keep them coming in, folks. Now, we did manage to sit down earlier on with George Aveling from TMI TAC Malaysia, and we wanted to know in a corporate context, what is your take on how to deal with a bad leader?
There's a saying that people join organisations, but they leave bosses. And as a general rule, I agree with that. The question is, what sort of boss do we have? Probably the critical element for good leadership is high levels of self-awareness. I've had leaders who have behaved, let's say, in a less than desirable manner, but no one has given them feedback. So they didn't know that they were poor leaders. So the question is, are they aware leaders? Are they aware of, you know, they're hardcore poor, or are they unaware? So it's to me, it's partly have there been attempts to give the leader feedback. Now, if the person is a weak leader, then it's not bad behaviour, but it's just lack of direction and lack of, and they don't show expectations very well. Then the question is, would the employees stay? It's a matter of, can the leader's weaknesses be made up? You know, can you make up for the leader's weaknesses? So that's on the leader's side, right? What is the core reason for the bad behaviour? Is it a strong push factor, or do I think that I can coach the leader to become better? If it is a, you know, a hardcore poor leader, or people don't want to give the feedback, the team will lose good people. There's no doubt about it. You know, and that happens all the time.
Which is interesting, because what we said about four of the tips that you can give a boss or do to help, you know, with a bad boss, and one of them is, you know, disarm them by validating their frustrations, right? And you can kind of repeat back to somebody. So what I'm hearing you say is something. Is that what you meant? So it's getting the idea of communication, and once somebody hears back from a different perspective, a different viewpoint, maybe that might make them sit and listen a little bit, or they could just be too stubborn to pay attention.
Like George said, self-awareness.
Self-awareness, right? We also managed to sit down with Dr. Harjit Sidhu at Quantum Achievers International, something a little bit different. From an NLP perspective, how do the events of last night work as a reflection on those politicians' leadership skills?
We say the leader should be walking the talk, right? So the moment that we don't actually walk the talk and our actions are different than what we have been preaching before, that also carries a lot of weight. And a lot of people definitely will abandon that leadership. Whether we are talking about political or whether we are talking organization, a lot of people leave their leaders, not the so-called organization. Based on what we have been reading, it may not be taken positively by the grassroots people and also the public at large. Yeah, it all boils down to, again, change management. Whenever you want to change anything, whether it's a hierarchy or whether it's the leadership change, it's about how we communicate to the subordinates or the people about the changes that are going to be done. So looking at all these things, we see that there's no communication, there's no proper change management, and the whole process has been sort of like a forcefully pushed into action. So that may not be a good change process by itself.
Yeah, so looking at some of the feedback that we've got on Twitter, you know, our question once again is, if you had a great team but a bad leader, would you leave or would you stay and why? Looking at the polls, it's still at 72% for leave and 28% for stay. And some of the comments, this is from Kosan, who says, this is a serious matter that has not been addressed. Some Malaysian employers are a bullying lot, especially in the media industry. Bullying can be via psychological bullying, if not physical. Employees are small people. They can't fight a company whose managers are abusive.
We've got a couple of messages on WhatsApp. This comes from Manwei, who says that bad leaders can't assemble a good team. Even if he gathers enough good members, the team would not operate well. If the team is operating very well under the bad leader, that means the leader is less influential to the team. Then this team is worth staying in. Otherwise, no. We have one from Eugene, who says, depending on the team, really, if we can work to overrule the leader, then I'd stay. But most of the time, when you have a bad leader, things just go south. Hence, the ultimatum is to leave.
Over on Insta Story, very quickly, Ocean Rick is saying, working with a bad leader is a mental torture. Very strong there. Noise 134, because a bad leader wouldn't appreciate good followers. Simple as that, unless they change first. Old Man Akil, in a local company, bad leaders can make or break your career. And Crystal has said, everyone is crucial in a team, leaders or members. That's what forms a good team. Right. Looking through for stuff over here as well, you know, about the communication for leaders as well, and how important it is. It's critical. Communication, a core leadership function, of course. One thing that sticks out, though, authenticity. You know, it counts a lot to be honest and sincere. A leader who's got their own voice and quit using the corporate speak and all about that kind of stuff. Forget about the eloquence and just worry about being real. You know, it's no good being sat in a room with a leader who's great at speaking but hard and wonderful flowery words, and yet you walk away from that meeting and you're like, I got none of that.
I want to ask you something. When it comes to like honesty, moving away from our own like political landscape and stuff, if you look at the US and someone like Donald Trump, and you want to link him to honesty, sometimes, you know, that's going to be tough, because you can say that he doesn't use flowery language and he doesn't care about, you know, using words that would be normally used by someone in that position. And he's very honest about his feelings. If he doesn't like something, he says he doesn't like something. Mm. If he doesn't like the Parasite one best picture, he says he doesn't like Parasite one best picture. So how much honesty is good honesty, and can people really accept honesty if it's coming from a leader who just says what he thinks?
I think that's an interesting way and an interesting kind of person to choose, you know, to respond to.
I mean, just zooming out a bit.
Yeah, well, you know, right. I mean, the thing is with Donald Trump, it makes me feel as though this is a guy who has always gotten what he wants and has always had everything handed to him, right? And we know the guy's, in inverted commas, worked hard to get to where he is. Or rather, doors have been opened for him. And it feels as though his comments and the way in which he says, I speak what I speak, I say what I want, and I do what I want, it is not so much that's actually what he thinks. Mm. It's what he knows and how he wants to react. It's the buttons he wants to push, because he knows that the people who are listening to him want to hear what he's saying. I don't think necessarily he is saying what he thinks.
So here's the thing. The one thing about Donald Trump that I'll you have to give it to him is that he doesn't let others speak for him. You know what I mean? Like if there's something like
this. Or anybody speak for him.
Exactly. You know, I mean, he's the one up there, you know, expressing his thoughts. You know, you can hear it from the horse's mouth. And that's something that I think we at this current moment are lacking from our leaders. At a time where we've heard about all these meetings happening yesterday evening, and, you know, there's all this uncertainty about the political landscape right here, right now. We haven't heard from our leaders, bar Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim, who basically just said that he doesn't know what's happening behind closed doors, but he feels like it's a betrayal. Mm. That's all he said. But we haven't heard from like the six people who went to meet the king yesterday. Mm-hmm. We haven't heard from some of the party presidents as well that are involved in all this backdoor or like secret meetings that are happening. We'd like to hear from them. And I guess that's where we feel like there is a lack of trust.
Right. Which goes back again to what you said about communication.
Yeah, I mean, I love the idea of people being entirely honest and saying what they think within reason, you know. Mm-hmm. There was a time, Audrey, and I'm going to use you as an example, forgive me for this, a couple of years ago when you were going through a period where you had like no filter. Right. It's called pregnancy. Yes. But it was brilliant. You know, there was that period where you were not a different person. You were just being blatantly honest. Mm. And I think that was kind of empowering for both you and for people around you, you know. And I think that the problem is with something like that, though, once you get used to that and you absorb that into yourself, you can go one of either way. You can get you can feel very empowered by it and use it a lot, or that empowerment might scare you and you think, this is actually not who I am and I should bring my filter back up again. I don't know. But the question that we're asking is very simple. If you had a great team but a bad leader, would you leave or would you stay? Why? Let us know via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. We've got polls running on both. I want to do a quick snap poll here in the studio. You two, what would you do? If you've got a bad leader but you love your team, what would you do?
Wow. That is a spot.
Of course. I thought we were just asking the listeners.
No. We're live
question.
On air, you know. Forget about the fact that team leader might be in the studio.
So I like what Manwe said about leaders and the influence they have on the team, because sometimes the team is just like autonomous and it works on its own. If that's the case, then it's fine. But if the leader is constantly breathing down the necks of the employees of the team, and we have to function according to that template and the rules that leader sets specifically without our own creativity, then maybe it's a time to go.
I think that most of the time when, you know, the leader is not so great, you know, and then the team members kind of pitch in together and hold the team up. But it is a sinking ship. So, you know, maybe you might not leave, you might want to stay, but then there might be other team leaders, team members who might just feel like it's enough, and then the ship will sink eventually. So I don't know, I'm half and half.
What about those team members who think they can fix it from within?
What is this about?
Yeah. I'm just asking. You know, just asking. All right.
No, that's the thing. So if the team has that kind of, that kind of privilege or that kind of, I don't know, what do you call it? That kind of benefit or that kind of empowerment, then sure, if you can fix it, then why not just fix it?
If but the capabilities are there.
Yeah. But if it's a lost cause, then what's the point in staying?
Time to take a break. Music coming up from Black Rebel Motorcycle Club with Love Burns. If you want to answer that question for us, you've got a great team, not necessarily a good leader, though. Would you leave or would you stay? 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Build Fairer Malaysia. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio today by
Arvindi Raj.
Audrey Raj.
And of course, our producer of the day is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Hello.
We're going to be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. The question is, if you had a great team but a bad leader, would you leave or would you stay? Let us know. We're going to have a quick update from the KLCI at break. Odds.
Yeah, so at break, the FBM KLCI is down, I can't believe I'm saying this, 2.54% at 1,492 points. It's broken the 1,500 psychological barrier. Year-to-date, we're down more than 6%. Markets in the region are also all in the red, actually. Singapore's STI is down almost 1% at 3,150. But let's come back to the local bourse, looking at some of the most actively traded counters. Most of them are in the red. MyEG Services, Bumi Armada, Alam Maritim, Sapura Energy, XOX Berhad, some of the top decliners. Also, looking at the ringgit right now, it is at 4.22 against the US dollar, 3.01 against the Sing dollar. We've gone back above 3 ringgit per Sing dollar. And against the pound, it is at 5.46. So I guess, you know, one of the biggest casualty from all the uncertainty developing with all the political news from yesterday, I guess one of the biggest casualties, of course, is the KLCI. Also, the ringgit, Malaysian assets, they're all suffering.
Arvin, what do you think?
About this, I actually wanted to say that, you know, for the people who, you know, when you say that you're not interested in politics and you're not interested in stuff that's going on like high levels and stuff, you might not be interested or might not be invested in the dealings of, like, you know, these leaders and what they want to do and what they don't want to do. But on a very financial core level, it does have an impact. So at least in that sense, it impacts everyone on every stage of life, on every level of society, whether you know what's going on or you don't.
Right. They might start paying a little bit more attention now when they realise, you know, prices are going up and whether or not you can get as many Thai baht or Singapore dollars for your money or whatever. Oh, why is that happening all of a sudden? Well, it's because of this.
Of stuff like this, yeah.
Yeah. Let's look at Twitter and, of course, at WhatsApp. What do we have over there? Let's go to WhatsApp first.
Yeah, so this is from Benji, who says, Asian boss mentality, we're the slaves and they're always correct. I like to recruit people from companies with known bad owners. They've been trained well and they perform well, but they're looking for better work culture. Maggie Bess says that at 60, I can't go too far because marketability is greatly disadvantaged, but I will survive. Cannot only change leaders, but have to get the rest of the team to change too, because they are, if they are that great, they would have helped set the leader right somewhere along the way. Teamwork is not mere finger pointing. Then I will pick one more. This is from Anas, who says that I will try to gather some feedback from the team members. If everyone agrees on the incompetence of the boss, we will try to make him leave by highlighting this to upper management. If the plans fail, I will leave.
Looking at Twitter, Dilip says, I jumped quite around a bit when I was younger when I didn't like the leaders. However, later realised that bad leaders usually leave someday. The team is important. Can be a problem if the bad leader doesn't leave, for example, if she owns the company. We've got another one here from Kozhan who basically says, well, basically, Malaysian companies operate by fear. And there's another one here from Sarah who says, bad leadership doesn't help the team thrive and makes the working environment environment toxic, stunts employee development and morale. And a quick look at the poll, it is still at 72% for leave and 28% for stay.
I've got a couple of messages over on Insta Story as well. Natasha said the leader was so toxic, it made all of us feel sick. P-Peg has said, I'll leave and bring the team along. And Gary Wong, 88, has said, because the team will throw out the useless leader eventually. Well, there you go. A quick update on the poll as well over on Insta Story. It takes a second to load. The numbers are 75% leave, 25% stay.
Well,
let us know what you think, folks. 0187898899 is the number on WhatsApp, Twitter, or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. We're asking you that question. If you had a great team but a bad leader, would you leave or would you stay?
Yeah, so I'm just thinking, you know, over the last 24 hours, we've heard all kinds of rumors and received WhatsApp messages. There are memes going crazy on Reddit and things like that. And all because of the uncertainty that we're facing right now. All the rumblings, like we said at the top of the show, started about 24 hours ago of news of a plot to form a new coalition government involving Bersatu, UMNO, PAS, Gabungan Parti Sarawak and Parti Warisan Sabah, as well as a PKR faction aligned with Dato' Sri Azmin Ali. Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim is the only one who's actually, is the only leader that's actually spoken to the press to say that he's heard of these rumblings and he believes that there are attempts to shake up the Pakatan Harapan government. He called it a betrayal. Mm. Now, we also spoke to Janita Sukumaran. She's the founder and consulting director of Rantau Golden. And we asked her, you know, from a PR perspective, based on the events of all of Sunday, how does this affect the public perception of our leaders?
Okay. I mean, I think, first of all, we need to understand that, you know, it's a pretty known fact that rumors are more important than any other source of information. And it is, you know, in PR, rumors compounded by word of mouth, that is probably one of the most important mediums of communication. Today, we see rumors being accelerated. You have your WhatsApp, Telegram, Twitter, Facebook, all of which I have received numerous posts and, you know, information about what was happening last night. Now, you look at what happened last night, the action by our leaders, very unified in their very sly silence, and probably to make their announcement more monumental, I suppose. I think it's terribly misplaced in today's uncertain political and, you know, very shaky environment, economy environment. This morning, the KLCI hit the lowest in the last 1 year. And this is a clear indication, you know, of leaders who are focused on their own political agenda than in the economy. And by, I would say, by shunning the media, our government and MPs have created an environment of distrust in the official channels of news. And this distrust has allowed uncertainty to be fueled by what I call mama's doll speculation. I would say the games being played out by our leaders sends a clear message that they're not interested in the people who put them in the seat. To me, these leaders have created a mixed call of no confidence. By being mysterious, they have lost the trust and credibility of many voters. This strategy of hide-and-seek by these politicians has put the power of information in the hands of the common person, thus pretty much stripping themselves of any worthy image they have built. I think the Prime Minister and all those who were at Sheraton and the various meetings taking place around the city, they need to take the narrative into their own hands and stop the speculation.
We also asked Janita if there was a way to regain public trust or improve their public image after this.
I mean, this trust has been very hard fought. It was a trust on trial with from the last election, and it was a very shaky trust. And I feel that basically by what they have done here, by not being forthright, by not coming clean about what was happening, by not sharing in the processes that were taking place, you have taken that trust away that the people have given you.
Very strong words there from Janita Sukumaran, a founder and consulting director of Rantau. Now it's time for us to take a very short break in just a moment. We've got the Eagles coming up with Tequila Sunrise. Of course, we are asking that question. If you had a great team but a bad leader, would you leave or would you stay? Let us know. Take part in the polls we've got running on both Instagram and on Twitter. And of course, if you want to comment, get us on WhatsApp 0187898899. We'll be back in just a few minutes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Bribe-free, Ministers, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm in the studio with
Arvind Viraj,
Audrey Raj.
Of course, our producer of the day is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Hello.
If you had a great team but a bad leader, would you leave or would you stay is the question that we're asking today. Our poll right now with around almost 400 votes is sat at odds.
72% for leave and 28% for stay.
Wow.
It's very similar over on Insta Story. We've got some feedback, of course, over on WhatsApp first.
Yeah, so this comes from Pong Chi Kwang, who says that not easy, but makes sense in a certain way. The best is the whole team leaves. Strong and good team should stick together. And there's one from Ong, who says that a good team has three types of people. Someone who could be horrible but smart. Two, someone who is hardworking and eager to learn. Three, someone who is neither smart nor hardworking, but this type three guy holds the type one and two to stay together and make it to become a great team. Team leads usually are type 1 or 3, hardly type 2. If this happens, I will stay because we need to accept the differences. Furthermore, handling the difficult person is a soft skill that we need to learn. Acquiring this skill from a great team is a rare opportunity.
I felt like I was listening to a ping pong game then. Type 1, type 2, type 3, type 1, type 2. But there you go. Yeah. Odds, over on Twitter.
Chon Lai Po says, you know, first, I would ponder how the bad leader became team leader. Mm. Second, decide together whether to stay or leave. You would have better chances for career progression with good teammates in the future.
I've got a couple over on Insta Story as well. Split Cure has said, try leaving twice. A great team is way better, even if you have a bad leader. Jay Srivin has said, leader defines the objective, and if he can't, the team can't survive for very long. Thea has said, a team needs to have a good leader who can lead them to success. Last two coming in right now. We've got Chris Aru. My career priorities come first. Bad leaders ain't getting me further in the career line. Dai Xiong has said, do not expect bad leaders will have a great vision.
Yeah, so, you know, we've just been talking about leadership,
yes.
Right? And I'm just thinking, like, we've spoken to Dr. Harjit Sidhu about how the events of last night, you know, plays out from an NLP perspective. Mm. And, you know, he mentioned something about change management in there. We've also spoken to Janita Sukumaran about, from a PR perspective, you know, what this looks like, how it mm-hmm. reflects on our leaders. But the best person to talk about change management is to Professor Rozhan Othman. He's from Human Capital Development, and he's done some wonderful work with us on BFM.
Yeah.
And we asked him, we managed to get him. He was in and out of meetings and we managed to get him. And I'm so glad. With respect to change management, you know, how big of a conundrum are all this news that we've been hearing and the events of last night?
Regarding change management, the essence of bringing about change is that it has to be managed. The thing that is disturbing about what happened yesterday, there are these politicians who want to bring about a change in government, but we have no idea what they want to do once they are in power. They have this motherhood statement about saving the country, about saving their people, but we still have no idea how they are going to rejuvenate the economy. We have no idea how they're going to reduce the cost of living. We have no idea how they're going to get Malaysia out of the middle income trap. So for the most part, this is just an attempt at a power grab, but without a clear agenda for how they intend to actually bring about improvement. One of the ministers involved yesterday talked about continuing the reform agenda. But this is the same minister who is known for his inability to create any policy initiative, any policy reform within his ministry. So what reform is he talking about? Because all this while, he has not been providing the leadership in terms of bringing about change. So if the coup in the teacup had been successful yesterday, I do not think Malaysia will be in a much better position after this.
And you're talking about change, right? Remember after like decades of Barisan Nasional rule, civil servants had to, you know, come to work on the second week of May to a new ruling government and deal with a new party in power. And there was all these changes that lasted for months. Everything was just volatile, right?
Yeah.
You know, in the civil service. And, you know, for civil servants and government servants, you know, how will this now affect them? You know, what can their immediate supervisors do to address the situation?
Civil servants in general prefer stability and continuity. This is the nature of bureaucracies. Bureaucracies are designed to be able to operate with a high degree of predictability. And when you have a sudden change, it makes things very difficult for them to sustain their effort in terms of bringing about the development of the country. Of course, part of the complaint has been that in some of the ministries, there has been this absence of policy leadership, new policy initiatives. So it becomes even worse when you suddenly have a change that is brought about by people who themselves are actually quite blank in terms of what new policy initiatives they want to bring. For supervisors in particular, what they can do to buffer against this unpredictability is to focus their effort in terms of improving the operational efficiency of their core services. Within each ministry, there are those core services that are enduring, that will have to be offered, will have to be delivered, regardless of who's in power, regardless of who's in government. And I think these are the things that are within their sphere of control that they can make sure that their subordinates focus the effort and do not get detracted by the political developments around them.
Professor Othman there, not pulling any punches and saying exactly what he wants to, right? Without that buffer that we were talking about a little bit earlier on.
Yeah, but you know...
Great stuff.
Yeah, leadership, you know, you've got to speak for yourself.
We have got to speak for yourself. Well done. Right, of course, we are coming towards the end of the show. We do have some other clips that we managed to get hold of this morning, in fact. The Breakfast Grill in the Morning Run managed to speak with Karim Raslan of the KRA Group. And just to wrap up, the question that was asked of him was, what should be done moving forwards after what has happened over the weekend? This is what he had to say.
I would strongly advise, in, you know, with all due respect, that the Agung should consider that this mandate has now basically been broken and that the country should go for an election. We need to know, you know, if we are going to be stuck with these two men, they've got to fight it out properly. We need to know who is going to run this country. Is it going to be Anwar Ibrahim? Is it going to be Dr. Mahathir? So be it. Let them fight it out. We have to live with the consequences. Agung needs to be scrupulously fair. And I think he's trying his best, clearly, by saying he will receive Anwar Ibrahim and the Deputy Prime Minister, Wan Azizah, today. Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir must also really think through what he is about to do. Can he be sure that he can work with this potential coalition going forward? My thoughts are that working with PAS would be very difficult. Who is going to be the Deputy Prime Minister? Who would occupy the Finance Ministry? These are all real questions that need to be addressed. Better you slug it out with the people. Let the people decide. Let's have another election. You guys have brought us to this. We gave you a mandate back on the May 9th, 2018. You screwed it up. Now go back to the people. Let us decide. And then you constitute your governments accordingly, whether it is under Dr. Mahathir or under Anwar Ibrahim.
Speaking about not pulling any punches.
There you go. Just a quick tweet here from Gajendran Sudarsan, who says, personally, I would stay. Yeah, the leader may be bad, but if I have a strong team and know we have each other's back, that's a plus. Leaving is the easy choice. It's a selfish cop-out. And that's what's wrong with today's world. The abundance of choices makes it easy to be selfish.
And on that note, we shall wrap up Enterprise Biz Bytes for today. Stay tuned, though, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay with Li Mengli, the CEO of Razor Fintech, billing itself as a digital bank targeted at the needs of the youth and millennial segment. Razor Fintech is the financial technology arm of popular gaming hardware company Razor Inc. Having submitted their application for Singapore's digital banking license, they aim to build the world's first global youth bank. The Breakfast Grill spoke with their CEO to discuss how non-financial firms like Razor are able to compete against the traditional banking players and the digital banking landscape. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Arvind Yuvaraj, Audrey Raj, and of course our producer Christine Wong, we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow for Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.